Yeah. Yep. I am ThemeBot 3000. You are listening to the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker inside a mountain near an undisclosed location in the rural, wild, mountain west in the occupied states of America. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments or the Ed and Ethan podcast. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. That's BIPCOT.org. I'm Michael Dean, and I'm joined by James Babb. Hello, James.
Hello.
And Jeremy Heisenberger, who is under a pile of murder dogs. Tell me about that, Jeremy.
It's warm and toasty in here, Michael. How are you?
How many pit bulls do you have on your lap right now?
There's only one pit, but we got some Dobies and big British Bulldog, little Dachshund, a couple of Basset Hounds. It's a big party today.
Glad I'm not your pooper scooper.
Do you take them all out and walk them?
I used to do that a lot more.
In the corner.
No. Well, I have a pretty big backyard that they usually go in. Now that it's getting warmer, my kids are a little
glad I'm not your neighbor.
Try to start. Well, actually, I have one of the quietest houses on the block because the one rule I have is no
I'm not
no
thinking barking. About the sound.
Oh, and I clean up, you know, regularly. Oh, well, okay. You clean up regularly. It's fine.
All right. Cool.
So.
Cool. So, yeah,
I do like to walk my pack of murder dogs and freak my neighbors out.
Oh, I just got an email from Steve Miller, who's going to be joining us.
Nice. All right.
Yeah, he's leaving work. He wants to log in stuff. He actually... we discussed the possibility of him using Skype and Skyping GCN and like doing the show on the bus on the way home going through Kensington, Philadelphia.
On but what he kind said, of hardware, though?
On an iPhone. It's technically possible. You know, with an iPhone with an unlimited data plan, you could Skype in to the Fiends. Sure. From a bus, but he said that that bus, it's like so noisy and like, you know, with all the stabbings and hip-hop that we wouldn't be able to do a show from there. So
got it.
But he's gonna come home and do a show, yeah, and tell us about drawing a gun in his new project, Draw Down on the Homeless, which is part of the Fiend the Homeless. It's the precursor. He was attacked by a homeless person and did not shoot him, but used a gun as a deterrent. And he's going to tell all about that when he gets on here. But
how do we know it was a homeless person?
Oh, it could.
Did they discuss like his living conditions, like while he was being attacked? I mean, like, well, I was staying with my sister, and then she got mad at me, and give me your money. No, I'm just wondering how that would go.
Yeah,
but I look forward to getting this story from Steve, and I'm sure it was not a pleasant experience. So,
yeah,
you know, of course, you know, we want the best for Steve.
So, speaking of people who shoot people. The police shoot people. So yesterday, I don't know if you guys heard it, but I told the story about how I was like yelled at in my home by a contractor.
Yeah.
Like I haven't been yelled at in my home for like 25 years. Like the last time I've been yelled at in my home was like, you know, when I was drinking and had, you know.
So you did something drinking. That terrible? So you must have been really terrible.
It was like, you know, drinking and doing speed and some guy like said he, you know, cheated on, like he did my girlfriend, and we ended up in a fist fight that lasted for like a half hour. That was the last time I like had a beef in my home physically with somebody, or you know, even verbally. But I was thinking about this, like the guy thought I was mad at him because I was having an asthma attack. Like he looked at my face and I was like breathing heavy and my eyes were bulging out and red and teary, and like he thought I was mad at him, but he was just having a bad case of the Mondays and I was having an asthma attack. And because the
combination was volatile.
Yeah. And I was thinking about it, like about all the times that cops, and I'm not making an excuse for cops, and this guy was an idiot, and cops are idiots when they do this. But, you know, where cops like shoot people because the guy's having a epileptic fit and they think he's just ignoring their commands, you know?
Yep. Right.
So I guess the moral of the story is just, you know, it's like my friend Sean Duvalli's Sig line. He's got this quote from Plato. It's something like, you know, be nice to everyone you meet. You don't know what kind of day they're having. I'm paraphrasing, but like cut people a break because you don't know what kind of day they're having, which I did with this guy because I really easily could have probably gotten him fired.
you know, or at least like gone on Angie's list and dissed his company. But I didn't, because I was just like, you know, and he apologized. He was having a bad case of the Mondays. So I guess that's the moral of the story, man, is take into consideration what people might be going through, you know?
Right on. Yeah, who knows what that homeless guy was going through before he decided to attack Steve Miller, you know? He had probably been listening to 24/7 Freedom Fiends on a on a radio that had been epoxied to him, and he was furious, you know? Who knows?
I know. Yeah.
So maybe this should be a, you know, we'll consider these possible outcomes for our, you know, as we launch Fiend the Homeless.
As he just walked down Kensington Avenue epoxying, going boop, 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 and sticking radio receivers on the homeless.
Yeah, I think that's a bad idea. I don't know.
Well, you're not gonna really epoxy. You're just going to give it to them. So when is that? Right. Is the weather good enough yet?
It's certainly getting there. So when we get Steve on, let's ask him about that.
So
if he still wants to do it, you know,
good.
I don't know.
Well, if he doesn't want to do it, I've got two other Philly fiends that'll do it with you if you'll do it.
Oh, we're doing it, and I'm sure. You know, I'm confident.
Well, speaking of weather, there's a huge storm headed for Casper, Wyoming, where I am, and I'm really happy about it because did you guys see the headline? Bernie Sanders cancels his Wyoming trip due to weather.
It's because he only wears sandals.
You know? I know. Yeah. Bernie Sandals. He was going to be in my town tomorrow, and I was like, I hate it when politicians come to my town because it basically turns your town into more of a police state. I mean, you had that with the Pope, right, in Philly?
Oh, well, they ruined a whole metropolitan region for that.
I know. They could have just dumped Agent Orange on Philly, and it would have done less damage, you know?
Don't give them any ideas. You know, remember, this is the city that bombed itself.
The movement. Gosh. Yeah, yeah.
So some great weather in Wyoming has kept Bernie away, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, people wonder why I live here when we have, like, you know, I mean, this 2 winters ago, a semi-truck headed for Walmart in town, got blown over. That's how bad the winds can get here. And, you know, when we first came through here, like, it's coming on 7 years ago, maybe, 2009 was when we moved here in July, but we came through here in June, like trying to decide where to live, and we went to a diner in Casper. This is like the beginning of June, like June 8th or 10th or something, and this diner had a snow shovel inside the door, right, leaning up against the door, and I'm like, what's that for? And the waitress goes, we never know when we're going to need it. And this was like the first week of June, and, well,
what's
and
the
I thought
altitude,
she was kidding.
What's the altitude of Casper?
It's a mile high. Pretty much the Mountain West is, like, you know, here, Denver, and Salt Lake are all around 5,000 feet.
Hmm. All right. But, so, yeah, I wouldn't expect snow in June, though. Really? Wow.
It can happen. I've seen it. Yeah.
All right.
Or hail. But yeah, so Bernie is not going to come to my town tomorrow and ruin it. I mean,
no, that's terrible. You know, who knows? Maybe he could have met the guy that likes to shoot cats professionally.
You know, my state rep. Yeah.
Yeah. They can hang out.
That guy would hate Bernie because that guy thinks he's a small government constitutionalist Republican.
Right. You could sick them on each other. It'd be hilarious.
I know. You'd steel cage match with throwing cats at each other. So, I mean, I remember there was a guy in Denver or near Denver that was, he was a Wyoming guy that went down there to hunt, got a, you know, in-state permission slip and was going to hunt in Colorado, and he's walking through the lobby of his hotel with his one of those soft cases that has the rifle in it, you know, no ammo in it, nothing, in a hotel where hunters often stay, like nice hotel for hunters that go down there for, you know, attorneys that go hunt or whatever. And he's walking through the hotel lobby and he gets tackled by two Secret Service guys and they arrest him. And it turns out like Nancy Pelosi was doing unannounced, like she was staying in that hotel. So, you know, somebody walks through with a rifle and Secret Service tackles and arrests him. That's what it's like when the government comes to your town, man.
Ugh. That's horrible. Yeah, no thanks, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're hotel owners, just say no. When they call, don't feel like, oh, the president's coming. No. Think of your other customers.
Do you remember that the video that went viral a couple of years ago of that, like, anarcho-communist donut shop in Portland, Oregon that refused to serve cops? Remember that?
There's been like a dozen of those types of stories, so I don't remember which one this is.
This was called the Red and Black Cafe, I think. It was an AnCom place. And my friend's comment on it. Okay. My friend commented on the video. He said, "I hate commies, but I hate cops more. Go, commie, go."
But you know, these are the commies that have a store, at least.
Yeah, there you go. So, they're capitalists. They may not share,
you know,
all
I can
the...
handle capitalist commies. It's those capitalist other. It's the commie commies that I can't stand.
Yeah. Well, the guy that does the buttons, the Fiends buttons, is at AnCom. You know. Davi and I say that AnComs do the best merch for AnCaps.
Because they're it's because of their latent autism. Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes them more creative or something. Well, I don't know.
Do you know Bill Buepert told me he's autistic?
Yes. I know he said that.
That's bizarre.
Well, we've discussed that before because Lisa and I are both people that have been told by others that we're on the spectrum.
I'm so not. I have problems, but they're kind of the opposite of autism, whatever the problem I have is, I think. So did you guys hear? I'm disabled now. I have a placard. My doctor said I'm disabled, and I got the parking placard.
Oh.
Hmm. How do you feel about that?
Congratulations, I guess.
I feel good because it's hard for me to walk more than about 50 feet, even on oxygen. It is beat.
Well, then that is a handy thing to have, then.
I deserve the handicap. Yeah, it is handy. So, yeah, man, I like it. I've always kind of been envious of those people, though, but I've always been like, oh, yeah, it's not worth it, you know. But it would be nice to always have parking right up by the store.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I had it for years because my ex and my daughter are both technically, you know, disabled, so they've always had it. So, but I refuse to use it unless I was with them or.
It's immoral, I think, to use it.
Yeah, I was one of those people when I worked at 7-Eleven, and I used to yell at people for parking at the handicap.
I think my wife should be able to use it when she's running errands for me, though, but she said she won't.
Well, yeah, you know, there's a lot of abuse with this in Philly because, like, parking's such a premium.
Sure.
So one thing that people like to do in neighborhoods is sort of just, you know, get the status and then have a handicapped spot put in front of their house. So.
No, it's not like that here. I thought you were going to say they rented themselves out to go, like, with people shopping.
They don't even need to go to that much trouble.
Here we go.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains, because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Yeah.
I don't know what's up with my headphones.
You gotta pick your, drop down menu.
I know, but when it's selected, the headphones, I'm not getting any. Check the headphones and they're working on another machine.
Hello. Yeah, we're getting an echo.
Yeah, that's because I have you on speaker, I told you.
I know, it's not working. Or are we just going to do it and be psychedelic, James?
No, I'll turn it off.
Yeah, or turn it really low. Yeah, yeah. So, this is the Freedom Fiends, live without a net, doing the audio teaching hospice stuff. How you doing, Jeremy?
Doing good, Michael. Doing good.
You're under a pile of dog drool right now, aren't
you? Yes. Yeah, oh, gosh.
I told my wife you had three pit bulls and an English bulldog, and she's like, man, that sounds like drool central.
Oh, the bulldog especially. He drools like crazy.
I know.
And unfortunately, he's very flatulent, too.
Oh, man.
I love him, though. I've been taking care... it's one of my oldest clients. I've been taking care of him since... The first time they brought him to me, he was only, 3 or 4 months old. And, he's a crossbreed, too, so he's 95 pounds.
Crossbreed of what? A horse and a bulldog?
An English bulldog and an American bulldog.
American bulldogs are a pit bull, right?
They're a little bit different. They have wider heads and stuff.
I don't even know anymore.
Kind of, yeah. So yeah, he's
really
a crossbreed.
Big boy. I really like that meme that Lou made today of the cop petting the pit bull, and it says, "I love you, murder dog," and it says, "I love you too, murder human."
Oh, I didn't see that one. Oh, that's great.
Yep. So I got a MWD colon update here.
Excellent.
I went down another 2.5 milligrams on my prednisone. I am down. I'm down from 30 milligrams a day to 15 milligrams a day. I'm at half.
Halfway there. Okay.
Yeah. And every time I go down, it hurts, man. I feel like I've been coughing so much. I feel like Dirk Nowitzki shot me in the chest with a BB gun in an open field. Do you get that reference?
No.
Fiend phone.
I didn't know Fiend Dirk had phone. Shot anybody.
It's actually from this Saturday Night Live video that I really love. That's a takeoff on the Gathering of the Juggalos ads.
Oh, and
it's,
okay.
It's for something called the Kick Spit Music Festival, which Lou and I like to make jokes about that's what Pork Fest is like, or that's what, Michigan Peace and Liberty Fest is like. But it's just a bunch of ridiculous events being listed by some people who are really excited. One of them is, "And Dirk Nowitzki will shoot you with a BB gun in an open field, yo." How random and weird is that? You know, is he known for like?
That's what I'm saying. I know him for playing basketball. I didn't know he shot anybody. Right?
Yeah, and like the guests at this event, like the musical guests, all have obscene names I can't say on radio, and then like the other guests are like Turtle from Entourage,
that's
Mark Furman from the OJ trial, the Bean Snapple
phone.
Lady.
You know, Bean phone. Like,
really? Okay. Sounds fun. Everybody will be given a pitchfork. That's true. Every single person will receive a pitchfork. We're not going to waste money on a bunch of porta potties. You want toilets? You've got them. They're called your pants.
Oh, man.
Yeah. No water bottles. No porta potties. The Kick Spit Music Festival.
I'm going to have to look that up. I haven't watched SNL in years. I gave up on it a long time ago, but I'm sure there's still good
Fiend
stuff.
Fiend phone.
Yeah.
James is just going to keep trying, huh?
Hey,
James.
Huh? How'd you fix it, James?
Sorry about that. Switch to the backup system. That's all.
Oh, yeah. The old one? Or is that Windows running on an Apple?
No, I switched. The old one works better than the new one, so I've switched to the new one now. Figure that one out.
Cool. Well, you know what? You're on here twice. You have two connections. One is Jim Babb 2 and one is James Babb. You could probably undo one of the machines that's connected, but whatever.
All right.
the guy that's making Fiendbot 3000, our editing software, said that when he's done with this, and he's pretty close to being done, he said his next thing he might want to do is tackle is making Fiend Phone for Android. Like you could do the show, on the murder bus in Kensington with your Chrome robot turd.
You could like create some kind of portable sounds enclosure. Like a soundproofing,
like a helmet,
like something. It's like
that you get on the bus with a diving bell,
like a diving bell, right? That's got that acoustic foam on the inside.
Yeah, and some little windows, like so you can see if someone's trying to stab you. For embedded reporters, comes with a bulletproof chest. Yeah.
Oh man.
Use that. That would have been really cool in certain situations to have. Like just portable everything.
Except you and Steve both have iPhones, right?
Yeah.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you.
We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
So, Jim Babb wanted to have a moment of silence in reflection to this great statesman. What happened, James?
One of our greatest, I should say not one of our greatest, one of the greatest Canvas. Politicians that I've ever even known about. Okay. Yeah.
Like Rob Ford.
I mean, yeah.
Greatest.
Passed away tragically. Tragically. I believe they said he was, you know, had a battle with cancer, and
I thought he'd smoking crack.
No, that's what was keeping him alive, and then they made him stop.
That's, you know, Jerry Garcia died because he got off heroin and coke. You guys know that? He died in rehab. He died in the same rehab my old girlfriend went to.
Well, I'm sure it puts quite a bit of strain on your system. Sure. And if he was weak, that could have triggered his heart.
And he was overweight, too. Yeah.
But the war on drugs does to people. It's horrible.
Yeah. Is the mayor of D.C. dead, the crackhead? Marion Barry?
Yeah. You know, and it turns out that Mayor Barry had inspired a whole new generation of crack smoking, whoremongering mayors.
You know, I lived in D.C. when that mayor got arrested. I was living in a crack infested neighborhood in D.C. that was like, I mean, it was like Vietnam. I mean, they were like, it was sweltering heat. It was helicopters overhead every day. I was having like flashbacks to like watching the Vietnam War on TV when I was a kid. It was, and I lived at 15th and Belmont Northwest, which is only about 12 blocks up the street from the Reason offices. And, you know, Reason magazine is funded by the Koch brothers. And there was a lot of Koch on my street. I lived across the street from Malcolm X Park. And, you know, that comedian is, I think it's Eddie Murphy or no, it's Chris Rock has this thing about how, you know, any city in America, I can't do him. It's going to be racist if I do. So he has this thing about any city in America, if you're anywhere near Malcolm X or Martin Luther King Boulevard, it's a bad neighborhood. I lived across the street from Malcolm X Park, okay? Malcolm
I feel X safer Park there. I feel
is
much
a worse
safer
neighborhood. There. No, it's worse? A worse neighborhood really? In any city than MLK, yeah.
Well, that's because it was probably put up by through some government action that totally didn't even understand Malcolm X and just.
Well, it's also the neighborhood that recently voted down letting a Walmart come into the neighborhood. And this neighborhood, all it is like liquor stores. Like that's and nobody there has a car. So like you have to buy your food.
Well, if you want to put anything else in, that's gentrification and you're racist. So remember,
so
making it nicer is racist.
Cheap, good food and good, you know, not good jobs, but jobs in this ghetto neighborhood. You know, they were like,
it happens all over the country. I just remember that one in like some Oregon town. They're like, we don't want that Trader Joe's coming to our neighborhood. We're 7-Eleven. We're a 7-Eleven block, you know, like,
we don't want live lobsters and good wine. Get that crap out of here. Yeah.
Literally, they said, nah, that'll bring too many white folk in, you know.
Like, really?
Oh, boy. Almost literally said that. Something very close to that, if I recall.
Yeah.
But anyway, we shouldn't take, you know, attention from Rob Ford's moment here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think the mayor of Toronto, he became an international figure. I'm reading just some of his highlights. I'm sure there's just...
We can't have a moment of silence, though, because... on radio, if you're silent for more than 6 seconds, alarms go off. At
right.
The
well,
studio,
let's just
literally.
We just want to think about him and talk about him for a little bit. I'm sure everyone's coming out with their, you know, their montage reflections or how Rob Ford changed their life. But he became an international figure, according to this one article, reminds us that there was a video came out of him smoking crack
Nice.
But they he found out about it because the somebody who had this video shopped it to the news outlets. They're like, hey, I got a video of the mayor smoking crack. How much are you going to pay me? Anyway, so eventually it comes out. He later admitted that he tried crack.
Tried.
Anyway, and it says, which dovetailed with his public persona as a jolly but ultimately harmless boozer who barreled down the hallways of city council, drunkenly spoke in patois, which I guess is the French. At
French
a place
Canadian.
And like let's see, he confidently told the press that he could have eaten a staffer's blank because he could just do that at home. anyway, he became known as racist, sexist, homophobe.
What's the blank rhyme with? Hit or rock?
Neither. Something of the feline variety.
Oh, kitty cats. Okay. So, yeah.
He mercilessly beat his friend with a pipe.
That was the part that I actually didn't know. Wasn't that the same friend that he was in the video with? Did I read that correctly?
Yeah. Well, then, right. Sometimes, you know, I think crack smokers do that. Sometimes they just hit each other with pipes and stuff.
Well, I like a politician that doesn't outsource the violence, you know?
Yeah, right. Himself. There you go. At least he did it himself.
And there's a gif of him dancing to reggae music like on the like at a council meeting or something.
This guy
made an impact. Think of sure he was racist and sexist and a homophobe and just a horrible guy that would hit you with a pipe.
And his policies were horrible, but
but he could dance.
I think I may have to rank him above Ron Paul for my favorite government thug of all time.
Yeah, man.
Because how do you know?
Well, he's dead
not?
Too.
Well, how would you rank him? I think the closest thing that I would put him to would be like a William Henry Harrison type of politician. But more. I can't even say fun, but I'd just say entertaining. I think.
Harrison died in 30 days, right?
Right.
That's why you like him?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I just think that was the most successful presidency.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
He's my favorite.
You know what Steve Miller said of Rob Ford today was, he said it was raining where he was, and he said, if you look up and you see rain, it's not really rain. It's just Mary and Barry crying, greeting Rob Ford in heaven with open arms and a crack pipe.
I thought it was the clouds were them sparking up. I don't know. Anyway, rest in peace, and I'm sure Toronto is, you know, going to be on its way to recovery soon.
Yeah. A sadder place, a less dancey place than yesterday. Yeah, man. So, speaking of politics, didn't you catch a cold from some dirty, filthy libertarians, James?
Yeah, I was hanging around with them this weekend, and you know, even though I'm an anarchist, but I hang around with all different flavors of libertarians.
All the cool Libertarian Party members are anarchists now. At least, well, wasn't it Nima Vedati and I did a remote? Did you set that up, the Libertarian Party event we did a Q&A at like four years ago?
Right. See, I've always I look at the Libertarian Party as a market for freedom.
A stepping stone.
I see them as being excellent prospects. Excellent
prospects. Drug for anarchy.
Right. No, they're great. And I've met some incredible people through the Libertarian Party. So, but if they ask me to bring in people, I give them Larkin Rose. You know, like I had you come in during a business meeting. I'm like, you know what? Nobody wants to go to those stupid meetings. I'll at least have an alternative entertainment, you know, in a relaxing environment that for people that are.
Larkin Rose even went. He's like, I'm not going this business meeting.
Right. We've had Ernie Hancock and Jim Bovard and, you know,
Ben Stone.
Yeah, Ben Stone. Duh. Well,
but didn't they ask Ben not to come back?
No. Did they? No. Absolutely not.
No.
That's right. I think that's what he said.
No. He was very well received and loved and adored. Yeah.
Good.
No, they, you know, so why not? Why wouldn't, you know, and Larkin's the one that I call on sometimes when I'm like, okay, I've got this like liberty curious audience for something. Could be a drug war thing, could be, you know, whatever it is. You know, I'm like, if they're kind of, I think, curious, I send Larkin in, you know, and like everybody's an anarchist like 15 minutes later. he's pretty good. So,
yeah.
Anyway, so I, yeah, so we deployed him this weekend at the Libertarian Party of Pennsylvania presidential candidate debate. He was on the panel. He was on the panel of experts. So his job was to probe the candidates for their libertarian philosophy, and you can imagine the antics that ensued. Anyway, turns out, Daryl Perry, it was at least, a good libertarian in the crowd. So it was fun to hang out with him. And
he helped create the BIPCOT license.
Yeah.
He played a small but important part. And the small but important part, I can't believe I needed someone else to tell me this. But, like, I actually considered making two versions of it. One that would be the one we have now, and one that would actually, like, be based on copyright, so it would be like legally usable, but you could still make fun of people. And I'm like, Daryl's like, and I was like, should I do this or not? And Daryl's like, no, man, don't do the copyright part. Just make it. You make fun of government people. That's what it should be. And I was like, okay, yep.
He gets it. He definitely gets it. So, at least he's in there. And one of the other guys was, I think generally libertarian. I didn't actually get to see most of the event because I was kind of busy working and stuff. So I'll check the videos later. But a couple great clips have already been circulating. Unfortunately for Gary Johnson, he kind of got, I kind of feel bad for the guy. But, he basically ended up saying, Larkin asked him how the Constitution is it consistent with the non-aggression principle, specifically the power to tax? Is the power of tax consistent with the non-aggression principle? And basically, poor Gary, said that, it was over his head, is what he said.
What's the non-aggression principle, basically?
Basically, he didn't know how to answer it, I think, mainly because he's pro-tax. And he said he supports the non-aggression principle. So... yeah, there's no way to put them together, and he was kind of called out on that. And then,
how do people like that rise as people like him and far worse autism plagiarism, Austin Peterson? How do people like that and like who was the guy with the porn mustache that worked for the
CIA?
Bob
Barr.
Yeah, Bob Barr, the elephant. Yeah.
Oh God.
How do people like that rise to the head of the Libertarian Party when there are so many? Like real libertarians out there, how does that?
Because real libertarians are smarter than that. That's why.
real libertarians are like empathic enough to push that far.
I'm telling you, there are some real nutters that are like nutters. Running for office. I mean,
tell us
who
about it.
Who else do they have there? Yeah.
Oh, there's this one poor guy. The guy was literally booed on stage hard, and he deserved it. Okay, like, the poor guy is just completely in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing for the wrong crowd, and they hammered him. And anyway, still entertaining. But I don't really care about the results. What I really care about is sort of having a chance to. Where people are discussing, the issues and libertarian philosophy and applying it to solutions and whatnot.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Freedom Fiends. We're back. Yeah, Michael, Jeremy. Jim Babb. Anyway, so we were talking about these libertarian.
Fiend phone.
Yeah. James had a great intro, and then we lost him. You there, Jeremy?
Yeah, I'm here.
Is James back? Well, I guess he's not. No. I guess we're going to talk about the Kixpit Music Festival video, which I think we should watch it over the hour break and then come back and talk about it. I really want Miller to watch this because he claims to be a juggalo, but I don't think he really
whoop,
is.
Whoop.
But, Whoop whoop.
Whoop whoop.
Is he back? James back?
Yeah. Miller Miller's here. Whoop whoop.
Hey, Miller Miller. Whoop whoop.
Yeah. Whoop whoop.
Damn. They're bigger buttons. You know, somebody thought that's what she's saying in the ad was, damn, they're bigger buttons. That's funny.
That's funny.
It's really Dan. I got new bigger buttons, and I'm still just waiting for those 16 BIPCOT flags to show up. They've left China. They've arrived in San Francisco. They're sitting on the docks in San Francisco waiting to get shipped to Wyoming, and I'm going to ship them out to all y'all that ordered them, and maybe I'll send out some buttons, too, because damn, they're bigger buttons. Hey, Miller Miller. Yes. Did you shoot anybody lately?
I shoot a bag of heroin. What?
No. What?
Oh, did I shoot anybody lately? Okay. you were kind of mumbling there. Speak up like you're on radio, son.
Okay. All right.
Oh, boom. Turning it back around.
I tried to get you to call in on your iPhone on Skype from the bus home, but you said there's too many stabbings. It's too loud on that bus from the stabbings, right?
It's not just Fiend stabbings. Phone. It's also
Fiend phone.
It's Are also. Yeah, I am here. I think that might be.
Go ahead.
James.
Tell me all about it.
Okay, so it's not just stabbings that provide the noise. It's also people having psychiatric episodes, people beating their kids because you take your kids on public transit at 1:30 in the morning, and then surprisingly enough, carjackings. While you're riding a bus in Philadelphia, we're so innovative. You can also be carjacking someone.
That's
cool. Out the window. How's that work? Explain.
You open the emergency window. This only happened one time. Okay, let me preface this by saying this is not a frequent occurrence. But yeah, there was this one guy on the bus, and he was working in league with somebody outside the bus, and the guy went onto the driver's side of the car, and the guy threw him a gun from inside. He opened the emergency window, which stops the bus, and threw the guy a thing, and then the other guy held the gun to the guy's head, and they got together. He jumped out the emergency window, jumped in the car, and then they ran off together. Well, I say they ran off together like they went and got gay married after the carjacking. That's not what happened.
And you're listening to NPR. Sure. You're listening to NPR with Kensington Images featuring Steve Miller Miller.
Do you want me to retell that story in NPR voice? Because yeah, I do.
However, before you do, I want to say, so LRN is back up online. That's great. But there's actually a little problem right now with the LRN feed, and we sound really staticky, Jim Jesus told me. So I put up a link on the Freedom Fiends Facebook and Twitter where you can go listen on a Pensacola radio somewhere, not Pensacola. We get kicked off there. Somewhere in Florida has the radio that we're on there right now has a streaming feed that has no static on it. I mean, the ads aren't going to be for, you know, anarchist lapel pins. They're going to be for dentists in Florida. But hey, it's kind of cool to hear how we actually sound to the natives. So go to, if you're listening on LRN and we sound really scratchy right now, until I can wake Ian up or find him or whatever, please go to the Freedom Fiends Twitter or Facebook, and there's a feed link there. And so, yeah, man, tell me again in an NPR voice a shorter version and pretend this is a segment called City Stories on NPR Delicious Dish. Tell me, Steve, what's Kensington like?
When we think about carjackings, generally, we think about men in the street. Weird men.
Are you
scary men.
Glass? Are you Ira Glass right now?
I hate it when people tell me I look like Ira Glass, but that notwithstanding.
It's the glasses. It's you're both just, you know.
If you listen to that god-awful podcast Serial, she sounds like she went to the Ira Glass School of Voice.
You're both just maggots that start with an F with weird glasses that look kind of handsome. I'd do you. I'd hit it.
Young Bernie Sanders.
Take us out. Go ahead, Steve.
Boom, boom, pee, boop, boop, boop. Young Bernie Sanders. I don't know what.
You know, I don't have to. He was going to come to my town tomorrow, but he got snowed out. I'm really happy.
Yeah, he can't hack weather.
I think they just figured out he was going to get booed off the stage here.
Isn't he from Vermont? How does he not hack weather? I know.
He lives in a mini mansion and has a big carbon footprint to keep it like 98 degrees because he's old.
That makes sense.
Wouldn't you want to keep his skin more supple?
Fiend phone.
They rub young boys on it.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. Broadcasting from Padre 2A, a mile above sea level. We alter your synapses by locus hearing, locus of your Aurelius with rejuvenative waves of radio. Trigger weeds. This is the Freedom Warning.
All right.
No script. Doing it live. Doing it raw. Hot on the mic.
MC raw Miller dogging Miller. It. We're raw dogging our radio here. There's nothing covering my mic. There's not even foam on it, but I'm using an RE20, which has an internal one. So
riding it raw.
I'm protected. I just got an email from Jim Jesus. He said, I'm dad ruined, fried, died. This must have been what it was like, fire, puerile, JFK died. And then he wrote me back and said, GD autocorrect, I'm sad Rob Ford died. Now I know how people felt when JFK died.
Yeah. He's touched our lives so deeply in so many ways that hole will never be filled until the next crack smoking whoremongering bear comes along to entertain us.
Aren't they all though? He just got caught
here in Philadelphia. All are
right, but it's the flair he did it with. It's not just of course they're all doing crack and hanging out with hookers and strippers all the time, but it's the way he did it. He owned it. He didn't run away from it like the others do.
Everybody always talks about Trump and how, he speaks his mind. Well, come on. Now, Rob Ford, he actually not only spoke his mind, but he actually acted the part,
too. He smoked his mind.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Smoke crack and dance like there's nobody watching. That's how he lived his life.
Do you want me to make you one like my smoke crack and worship Lincoln one, like I made for my Freedom Fiends debut?
Are you talking about a meme?
Of course I'm talking about. What else would I be talking about? I'm just Steve Miller. Of course.
Come
I'm
on,
talking
man.
About
there's people. You got to remember, we're on radio, which is also known as Grandpa's Internets. Not everybody knows by inference that you're talking about memes.
I'm talking about memes. I was going to say
people that don't even have the internet.
Do they all know what memes are? Much less that we're talking about them.
I was offering you a show image as well. See, I'm taking care. I'm multi.
Oh no, the show image I have. It's you and Steve Miller. I mean, it's you and James at a Libertarian Party event with James wearing a suit, you wearing a Bipcot flag, and it says
on my
Bipcot,
bolo tie,
ruining the liberty movement since 2015. Yeah, on your bolo tie.
Yeah,
I've been ruining it longer than that. But
I always welcome.
Now Bipcot is ruining it. It's really helped too.
You can blame it on Bipcot.
No, I love it.
I want to hear from both. First of all, Steve, I want to hear about you drawing down a gun on some homeless guy. How do you know he's homeless? Did he tell you his life story while he was attacking you?
He was definitely sitting on the steps with a whole lot of his possessions, and I walked past. And he goes,
because we were wondering that. How do we know he's homeless? Yeah. Okay. I thought maybe you had a conversation about
Rocky?
It or something.
This is also
the steps that Rocky runs up on the library?
Yeah. No, this is nowhere near there. This is near the bridge Rocky runs over in Rocky, and also the bridge under which they found a dead prostitute last summer. Anyway.
Oh, nice. Was it any of your friends?
Nah.
Okay, good.
No. Nobody I knew this time. So, the night before, let's give a little preface. So, the night before, I was at this event that you speak of, where I had used the cord of my bolo tie as a flag for the Bipcot flag, having a good time with the folks. And I have a conversation with Ed Regan. Bless his grind. Ed, if you're listening, bless your grind. And he stresses to me the extreme importance of carrying at all times.
And carrying a gun.
Yeah. Not like carrying sorrows or anything like that. Although
he ain't heavy, he's my Glock.
Correct. Which, precisely what I had. Anyway, and I've got like a this big old coat, what have you, and I'm walking down the street like a proud man in a bolo tie,
strutting, in other words.
And this homeless man interprets my bolo tie as a sign of extreme wealth, which
is natural. You get that a lot, right?
Right.
The way you carry yourself, your image, you know. I mean, right? That's probably a
Rare is the time when I walk from point A to point B without being besieged by wedding proposals and people trying to sell me Buicks. Anyway, so I'm walking down the street looking like I own all the cattle in Kensington. And this fellow sees me. He goes, "Yo, man, you got a dollar?" And I'm like, "No, good sir." And
did you really say good sir?
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Of course.
Nice. You nearly dropped the monocle out of your eye. And
right?
You look like the guy in the Monopoly, like the guy in the... You're wearing a tux, too. You forgot to mention that. A tux with a bolo tie.
The bolo tux. Anyway, bolo tux sounds like the name of some biotech corporation.
Bolo tux. I invested when they went public, before they went public.
Yeah, you were in on bolo tux early. So he goes, "I say no good, sir. What's up?" And I go, "Yo, man." Like, and he's like, "Yo, you ain't got his kits out." And then he like gets up, and then I'm like, "Yo, don't come any closer." Like that, like it with an almost like sorrowful tone. Cause like, for real, like, come on, it's 6:45 in the morning. Like, we really got to do this right now. And, He just starts charging at me, at which point I pull out Percy, and there's Percy. I don't point it around.
Was it?
I definitely take it out. He goes, "What?" And then he goes, "Yo, somebody call the cops! Somebody call the cops!" And then runs down the street. I'm like, "All right."
and fortunately,
so you quickly turn the tables on him.
Fortunately, you're in Kensington, so nobody called the cops, and if they did, they wouldn't show up till the next day.
Yeah, and right. Also, and also, like, keep in mind, we've got a man who is sleeping on the street, and whose breath smells like crack. And we've got that guy's word versus me
in a bolo tie.
Right, I'm dressed like I'm an extra in the cast of Dallas, and
I love the smell of crack in the morning.
Falcon Crest, and
soap,
you know. And I'm white, and that you know, I'm still white, and that carries a huge amount of weight. And it's 6:45 in the morning.
It carries weight, you know. But doesn't it also say, "What are you doing in Kensington?" Like, they think you're there to buy drugs.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely, all the time, yeah. And especially because like I'm not a particularly like girthy fellow. I'm like a fairly skinny chap, but
you could be on crack.
Stop when Frisk was big. I definitely got stopped and frisked a couple times.
Really? I didn't know they did that to white people.
Yep, sure enough.
They do it in black neighborhoods, in crack black neighborhoods, if you're white.
Exactly.
Well, they have, that's right, they do have that. There's a new white quota on stop and frisks now, just because everyone was calling them out for being racist.
Black Lives Matter complained, so instead of frisking less black people, the government decided to frisk more white people.
No, this was before anybody was even complaining about it, because the murder rate was so high that they were just like, "You know what? Why don't you take away all of our liberties?"
Yeah, go ahead. That sounds great.
So, did your gun have one in the chamber? Or did you cock it, or what happened?
It had one. But no, I didn't cock it or anything.
That's the gangster thing to do, is to like, you know, not use a holster and not have one in the chamber, and just when someone irks you, you just pull it out and cock it. That's what I do.
Well, the sound effect is good. It's like the...
I do. I carry a Glock in a messenger bag, like just loose in the messenger bag with nothing in the chamber. And if I ever have to pull it, I'm just going to cock it. I mean, you know, there's people who say that's not really the way to carry, but it requires so much less situational awareness than having something on a holster. And I'm kind of plump and holster. You know, I've never liked wearing belts, even when I was skinny. Steve wears a belt. Doesn't he have a bolo belt?
I have an enormous belt buckle on right now.
So is your gun in a, yeah. Do you have it in a holster or in the pocket of your trench coat?
Oh, pocket of my coat. And it wasn't, yeah. Yeah.
That's really chambered in your pocket? It's dangerous, man. It's dangerous.
That's a plexiglass waiting to happen, isn't it?
There were multiple locks on it, though.
Oh, okay.
Locks?
I had a trigger lock on it. Yeah.
No, you didn't. You're just pulling my bolo tie. You know what you need is a bolo tie that's actually like a police cam. So you can play back and show what really happened if you ever have to draw down again. And you get...
Yeah, but that could be used against you as well. So I don't know if you want that. Well, yeah.
And
you don't have to live stream it. You can edit it out later. It's okay.
Well, if you disguise it enough, they're not going to know unless you tell them.
Well, that's true. But you also have to remember that I got a lot of enemies in Philadelphia, and they would love to
the comedy circuit, right?
There's the comedy circuit who I've attacked via memes, and then also the politicians that they suck up to, and my city councilwoman, the people in her office refer to me as that guy whose wife yelled at Maria's face. She thinks I'm married to Josie Wales.
That's hot. You know how many guys wish they were married to Josie Wales? Like every third comment on YouTube about Josie Wales is, oh, she's smart and beautiful and likes guns. Will you marry me? Yeah. And, you know, she should just say no.
She was one of our expert panelists, by the way.
I saw her. I was teasing her on the memes about it because she said something. I can't remember what it was, but it was like, She was joking that I was saying something that was a non sequitur, and I said, "So says the anarchist that was at the Libertarian Party event." And
it seems pretty funny, doesn't it? Yeah. Right, but
not as funny as okay, it's horrible that Ian Freeman got raided, but Steve Miller pointed out something I didn't see: the bumper sticker on the car when that cop's carrying the stuff out. What does it say, Steve?
I'm an anarchist and I vote and I love. Yep. And like that was one of the funny points. Like one
it's
of the
in
few
plain
like,
view. Like the cops walking out with a computer, and to the left of him there's a car. In the back of the car there's a sticker that says, "I'm an anarchist and I vote." That cop in the picture, I can't tell if he's 30 or 70. He's a weird looking guy. That state cop with the vest on.
You get that in Philly a lot, because in Philly the aging is different, because a lot of them just spend their entire lives sitting on the steps, so it ages your skin
in the snow
like
and shoes, in the sun, yeah.
Like shoe leather, and then their bodies get to look like russet potatoes at starting at age like 30, but you can also get it a little early, and like the women especially kind of look like just a nice Idaho russet potato, and they kind of look like an angry hedgehog in the face.
Wyoming's like that too, because there's so many
angry
ranchers
hedgehog.
Here
face.
You got a lot of like angry in the face looking people.
Angry in the face. Yeah, I got a new name for a fake town in Wyoming. It's a real town, but really it's Ranchester.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
See, okay. I promise myself I stopped doing that. Okay.
Stop doing what? Talking about your guns on the air?
No. Well, there's that, and then there's also the I would stop using the word John in place of a specific noun.
Okay.
Yeah. To conclude the story, when I got to the McDonald's where I was trying to get coffee, the order that I put in was, hey, good morning. Could I get a large John with two Johns and one John? And
he knew exactly what you meant.
The woman knew exactly what I meant. Is it the same thing I get every time I come there? And it's the only thing that would be ordered that way. So clearly that's obviously a large coffee with two creams and one sugar. And she laughed because, I don't sound like I'm from Philly. I don't have that accent that
Because you're from Cleveland.
Have. because I'm from Believeland. Me and LeBron James and Drew Carey and Jeremy and Jeffrey Dahmer and Tracy Chapman, the all the great ones.
I'm from Ranch Chester, Wyoming.
That's beautiful.
Okay.
Well, you know, I forgot to mention, it snowed 2 inches. I just looked out the window during the break. It snowed 2 inches here during the show. And that is a beautiful thing because I feel like I love how snow kind of like soaks up sound and makes everything sound muffled and like you're wrapped in cotton and Bernie Sanders can't get to your town. It's really a nice feeling.
Yeah, cozy.
Can't escape him.
Nah, man, the snow's keeping him out. He's a puss-puss. How can he be from Vermont, though, and be offended by snow? I don't get it.
Because he only wears sandals.
Bernie Sandals. Man, yeah. Nima Vidati's sexy. I'm looking at my Chrome Robot turd. She looks good. Nima, we miss you. You look sexy. All right.
You know what Bernie is?
Okay.
Bernie's a liar, a socialist, and he smells like
mothballs. Okay, Google.
Untangled.
Nima, I just saw this picture and I'm on the air and I just said you look sexy. Okay.
There you go. Now that's some real quality programming there.
Yeah. Man, I really like the voice recognition on Android. It's almost perfect. Yeah.
All right. That's great. I can never use mine. There's always too much background noise with the dogs and stuff.
The dogs.
Yeah.
It's probably like a NSA technology spinoff technology that's been, you know, it's like that voice print ID and right.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I don't say anything in front of my Android that I wouldn't say to a cop. Yeah.
Okay.
Not in front of the Android.
Am I being detained or am I free to go? No.
Hey, those of you that live with women, do you put the toilet seat down when you're done using it?
Every time.
I don't. My wife and I figured it out a long time ago. If there's only a man and a woman living in the house, you just leave. You put, you know, if you're the man, you pick it up to use it. If you're the woman, you put it down to use it, and then you leave it.
There's a 50% chance of it being in the wrong position the next time.
Right.
So, either whether you put it up or down.
Women. Don't you live with 17 women, James? Your four wives and 12 children, and they're all daughters.
Right, on our it's a Mormon compound.
So there's a 5% chance for you of it being in the right place.
Your math's wrong.
Yeah.
Hey, I happen to. Can I make my important announcement?
Yeah. What are you running for?
Surprisingly, I was nominated to be the Libertarian Party candidate for the treasurer of Pennsylvania. Okay, it's a statewide thing. So this is my platform. Okay. On the day one, I go in and I change all the passwords. Okay. I close the P.O. box. And, you know, if there's any money left in the treasury, it's going to be dropped from helicopters and or given to strippers.
In Kensington.
Yeah. Well, no. I'm not crazy.
And then film the scuffle and then put it on pay-per-view.
Anyway, that's basically the platform in a nutshell. People say, oh, you're an anarchist. Why are you running for office? Because I might be able to actually deliver that platform in a debate with actual people running for treasurer, like thinking it's important. So it could be, I'm thinking the lull potential could be quite high.
That's why anarchists run, I think, is so they get to, be on. Hey, stop. Whoever's like writing me right now and telling me and Steve Miller to not use a two-shot Cobra Derringer as a backup and are telling us to get a Ruger LCP. I had a Ruger LCP. That is the most dangerous, crappy gun in the world to carry because it's like it's a 380, which isn't really good, and it's like there's no safety on it, and it's got the lightest trigger in the world. I mean, that's the shoot yourself in the foot gun. So stop it, Ed Reagan. Stop. Okay, go on. What are you running for, James?
Treasurer of the state of Pennsylvania. I get the keys to the whole treasury.
Wow.
The whole thing.
What if you won?
Well, there's always a chance that the other candidates will die and you're the only one on the ballot.
Well, let me ask you this. Like with state things like that that aren't the usual things people vote for and care about, is there any kind of like electoral college or is it actually vote counting that wins it?
Oh, it's just vote counting. And
so you could win.
Oh, no. No, I should say vote casting. I didn't say vote counting.
Well, what if we somehow like got the tide to turn from friends, the memes all being
with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Yeah, meow meow. Squirm plus one.
Wow, yeah, super squirm. Plus one.
It's just, there you go. Super so James Babb coined this term, a squirm of worms.
I coined it as a group of worms. That's the technical term for a group of worms. We just said let's call it four fiend hosts at once.
And we had a squirm, we're full squirm tonight. And then there's a hemi demi, there's a hemi squirm, which is two hosts, and then a hemi demi semi squirm, which is one host. But tonight we got a super squirm, which is five. James Jesus.
I don't even know what's going on right now.
You're on narcotics, aren't you?
Yes.
For medical purposes?
Yeah, a hot lady rooted around in my mouth and decided it was a good idea to give me opioids, so I'm happy.
It's not medical. Unless you're Rush Limbaugh. So you're doing the Rush Limbaugh. You're on narcotics on the radio.
Yeah, well, no, they were legally acquired according to whatever magical paper written.
Did you have your surgery today?
I was going to say, it's Bipcot licensed.
About Rothbard. We're due.
You got your Bipcot prescription there?
No, otherwise it would have sounded like, if I had surgery today, I would sound like I was playing Chubby Bunny. No, I'm not. Yeah.
So you said I should get a potato gun. Why?
Yeah, get a potato gun because you just take the potato gun, you jab it into potato, and it's free bullets. Just free bullets.
I don't know if they'd stop a Kensington crackhead, though.
They're fairly soft.
If you donate to the Freedom Fiends tonight, we will give you our new memo pad, which features the logo of the BIP script, no doctor prescription.
There you go. There you go.
She was a doctor.
The BIP script. Or Scriptcot. Scriptcot
license. Scriptcot, no government pill license. So, Steve Miller has an important announcement. What is it?
Indeed. So somebody asked me, they said, Steve Miller, are there circumstances under which you would ever support Donald Trump? And I figured out that there's exactly one three-step scenario under which that would be allowable. Number one, the wall has to actually be built. That's the first step. The wall's got to actually exist, and it's got to be really high. Number two, this part's not in his platform, but I need him to build a giant catapult.
He could win you over with that project, if he announced a giant catapult.
Yeah, and it's public works. It'll create jobs, break some windows. Those are good for the economy.
Stimulus.
Stimulus. Number three, I need the first people that are going to be catapulted over the wall to be everybody who's ever walked up to me and said the following. Boy, you're a comedian. You must really be hoping Trump gets elected. And I need them. I need to hear their cackling as they are catapulted over the wall. That's what.
Because it's just too easy. It's just not a challenge as a comedian, right? Like,
right? Yeah.
And whoever gets in, of course, it's a target-rich environment for a comedian. You can go with any. You just run with any of these people. I'm tired of people thinking
like, oh, well, man, you must want a potential the likely genocide to happen so you can get a couple hacky jokes in there.
I'm just dying for John Kasich to get in office so I can make Motel 6 Tom Baudet jokes all day. Oh, I'm president. And just play that song endlessly. I'm just put it on my phone. Start playing the Motel 6 theme.
There's a fortune to be made.
Yes.
I don't even know who that guy is you mentioned. I've heard his name before. I have no idea who he is.
Apparently this Governor guy, Ohio. Yeah. Apparently he's running. I didn't know this until he won a state. A state.
Isn't he the governor of Ohio, and that's the state he won?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Hey, that's at least he won something.
He's run before, though, didn't he?
How many states did you win?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he sounds like Tom Baudet from those six Motel 6 commercials. We'll leave the light on for you. And he's always saying the same story. Oh, my dad was a postal worker. My dad was a postal worker, and, well, we know what it's like to be poor, and we'll leave
to be bureaucratic, do nothing, lazy.
Yeah. Have our lives subsidized by the masses.
We may have been poor, but we had our stack of forms.
Right. Yeah, when it got too bad, though, they could just live off like stolen fruitcakes that go through the mail every Christmas. So
they're heating the house with undelivered mail, and
right, yeah, just throw another bundle on the fire.
Wow. Social Security checks. By then, they'll be like more useful to burn when you get them than to cash.
I think it's pretty much even right about now, I'd say.
Yeah.
And what about Ted Cruz's face? I mean, that's a target-rich environment by itself. I mean, didn't they rent? I heard there was a news article, I think by The Onion, that talked about there was an ad. It was a 30-second ad, and all it did was just show Cruz's face with no music, no talking, nothing. Just a picture of his face for 30 seconds.
Is it
was damaging. It really damaged his campaign. It would really damage his campaign.
Hey, I'm jumping off, you guys. Have a good show. Take care.
Worms. No, don't jump. Don't jump. Don't jump. We love you. People.
Later.
Step down, bye. Michael. Step down.
Jump. I will step down gracefully. Like Rob Ford should have.
No, Rob Ford should have stayed around forever. He was the greatest thing that's ever happened to politics ever.
He is my favorite government thug.
Yeah, by far. Yeah, all of his little press releases where he was, like, insulting women. Oh, did we just lose? Wait, no?
Oh.
Nope. Did we lose someone? No, we didn't. Okay.
We're good. I think I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, Rob Ford, I'm so sad that he died. Now I know what it's like for how sad people were when JFK died. I can feel it now.
I feel that too. It's like he's touched our lives so deeply in ways we don't even yet know how deeply. Exactly. Like this, yes. Filling this hole will just, it's going to be a long healing process. I know that. The grieving process.
Young too. Only 40, what did they say, 46 or something? It was.
But he made up for it in weight.
Yeah.
but still, but, before his time.
You know, so much crack remained unsmoked.
Yes.
It's just so sad.
So many more people to insult. Friends to beat with pipes.
And I like truth in advertising, so having somebody who works in government having their name be Rob.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's great. Or Lawless. I think I see that a lot. Anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be funny. Yeah, only in New Hampshire, that probably says, like, you know, Joe Voluntarist for Congress.
Oh, no. Oh, gosh. I'm waiting for someone who has the name Google Voluntarism.
Why not?
Or taxation.
Ooh. Yeah.
Taxation eye theft.
Are we not allowed to say that?
I could list. Did you guys. Hey, FCC Jim, did you hear that I'm. Right, go again.
Spit it out.
Spit it out, Steve.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyways.
Jim, did you hear that I was nominated the candidate for Pennsylvania treasurer for the Libertarian candidate? And I'm going to change all the passwords. The platform is change all the passwords and close the P.O. box so mail gets returned to sender. And then anything in the treasury is going to go to be dropped out of a helicopter or given to strippers.
I think you're going to get hung up on that last part so much that you're just going to turn into like every other person who runs for semi-local office and just be addicted to coke and hookers.
Right. I need to find a way to stand out. I think try to differentiate myself somehow, but we'll figure out a way to do that. But
I'm thinking about running for mayor, just running on the platform that I will legalize prostitution in Las Vegas, and that's going to be my only platform. And then once I achieve that, I'm just going to step down. Not going to string government. That's just going to be it. Like, no, I'm only here for... I'm a single-issue candidate.
It's a great idea. And make sure, but make sure that you're the first one to get have a brothel open right in town. You know,
yeah,
the way politics works.
Yeah, I think you know? Dennis Hoff will jump on that before I can. So, yeah. So,
how about a combination brothel and marijuana store or something like that.
Better yet, I think a better platform would be turn Circus Circus into a whorehouse. But keep all the theme, keep all the kids theme there, so all the kids come and see a sharp stab at reality. Like this is what life is, kids.
Yeah, that's going to be way better than the wax museum. You know, mm-hmm. Definitely.
How could they name a casino after Circus Circus when he shot RFK?
What?
That was a sirhead joke.
Yeah, I think it was his brother.
Too spicy. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a little too spicy for me.
You know what? Okay. I will say this about free speech, not actual free speech, but free speech in the sense of if anyone disagrees with me, my free speech is being violated. Every time I can't say either a word or a phrase on the Freedom Feeds, it's because I'm being stopped by one of two FCCs, either the Federal Communications Commission or the Fiend Cuckoldry Commission. that tells me you can't discuss X topics on the show. And yeah, and that's why I was fired.
Hey, quick, not to interrupt, but let's make a note for Derek Slopey. Might be working on Fiend Phone. We have the cough button. Let's add the burp button up there as well, so so users can activate that as needed.
Well, Michael Dean decided it was a good idea for me to come on all hopped up on Norcos and pounding Coke Zero. So
I'm all for it.
I was going to guess Mountain Dew Code Red by the sound.
Oh, no. Are you kidding me? Does it look like, did you ever see me wear a fedora? I did not think so. You would never see me drink anything Mountain Dew ever. I'm a Coke Zero.
Okay. What is the active ingredient in Coke Zero?
The active ingredient is caffeine. So I got caffeine and Norcos. And I guess that's a combination too. So I'm like, it's pretty meta, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we wish you a swift recovery. And that was from, what was it? Your penile reduction surgery?
Yeah, it was just too big. None of my underwear fit me. You know, it was always, hanging down the side of the legs and
getting caught in the spokes of your bike. Not fun.
Right. No, how long are you expected to bear that burden? Right. So.
Well, apparently no longer now. Yeah, no longer. Oh, I see what you did there. That was clever. I see what that you was, did there. I know why that's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
Yo. Yeah. So.
And taxation is theft.
Yeah. Not this again.
Looks like you're kind of tired of that meme campaign. Is that right, Jim? You're like, this is just too. Let's end it, right?
Yeah, it's forced meme.
End it, don't mend it.
No, it's not trending. It's forced. Sure it's a forced meme. It's a forced meme. The way I was, Desu, it's all forced.
It's not natural, is what you're saying. I just love it. I don't know. I just have a lowbrow sense of humor, but there's been some really creative ones. And I don't know, like the one with Han Solo and Princess Leia.
No, the only one that made me giggle so far was there was one of it was a Christmas story and the kid was reading decoding the messages from the radio with his decoder ring, and he wrote it down and it was taxation was theft, and he had a look on his face like he was so bummed. And the only reason why I found that funny was because I was like, that's me. I'm tired of this. Taxation is theft, but give it a rest.
No, it's just getting started.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone proof.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
This again. Get out of my house.
Yeah, so, I'd be happy to hear that once, man. Come on, then.
I had a rehearsal at my house the other day for my Fringe X activity. There's a show called the Fringe Festival in Philadelphia. It's all kinds of people doing weird things.
Oh, it's a classic.
Yep. And I have a show in the Fringe Festival this year, and I had a bunch of people, mostly women, come over to my house the other day. And my neighbor said unto me, well, my neighbor, he's like maybe two years older than me or so. We're roughly the same age. Black guy, very born and raised Kensington. Says to me the other day, he says, Steve, he's like, yo, you got all these women coming over to your house. Like, how you getting all these women to come over to your house? And I say, oh, I tell them to Google voluntarism.
Nice meme.
And he said, what? I go, yeah. I go, anytime you see like an attractive woman, you just walk up to her, you tell her to go Google voluntarism.
They love and, that.
Yeah, they love it.
Yeah, you can't keep them off. It's like that, what was that, like, Axe body spray? It's like the same kind of effect.
It's like
just not a you.
Nap body spray.
Nap. There actually was smells, an anarchy. Like there actually was an anarchy spray. One, by the way.
Oh, yeah, there was a...
Yeah. Ode to anarchy, or what is it?
OD anarchy. It just smells like marijuana and burnt tires.
Bacon grease. Yeah.
Bacon grease. Yeah. It smells like basically pork fest. yeah. I stay away with that. I'll just stick with my Versace blue jeans. Thank you.
With your what? Oh, Versace blue?
Versace blue jeans.
Oh, that's blue what jeans. You. That's what.
That's
you
what
smell
I. That's
like.
What I'm spraying. Yep. That's what I smell like.
Oh, see, I go Stetson because I'm a cowboy. I own all the cattle in Kensington.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Glad we had this little talk.
That's all right.
No, like, you got to smell like what people expect you to smell like. And when it's me, it's break fluid,
do you?
Sweat. Yeah,
you don't want any surprising smells, is what you're saying.
No, like, I try not to smell like, you know, peanut shells or anything like that. I try to
wait, you know, a minute. I was just eating boiled peanuts. How did you know this? Are you watching me?
I was looking at a bag of peanuts in front of me, which is why I chose that as a random substance to smell like.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. I always got nuts on the brain, Jim Jesus. But
I've been told.
I mean, you know, you got your everybody's got a gimmick.
Yep. Bolo ties, bit strongs.
Jeremy's gig is that he has the opposite of an NPR voice.
Yeah. Yes, this is true.
Yeah, James Babb is that he acts like an anarchist but looks like a Republican geometry teacher.
Who? Who? Who's the Republican geometry teacher?
You look like a Republican geometry teacher.
I thought I was an actuary. Now I'm a geometry teacher. Boy, I'm slipping. Man, like that's like down. That's a pretty big drop in status. So,
see, you don't carry around a clipboard enough. If you carried a clipboard more often, you might get back to actuary status. But I don't know. You've been happy the last couple times I've seen you. Well, actually, yeah. I guess that would bespeak not teaching geometry to eighth graders.
Or any subject for that matter.
Yeah, I'm getting tired of Mr. Babb's joke constantly. Like, what's a right angle? Taxation is theft. Ha 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 ha. I see what you
did
there.
That's a cute joke. I didn't think it was obtuse.
He's live memeing. That's what it is. Real time memeing. Yeah.
Yo, Jim Jesus. Two parallel lines walk into a bar. They never meet. Also, taxation is theft.
You can go anywhere. You can go anywhere with that. I think it's great.
Exactly.
I love it. And it's, you know what? And the neat thing about it is, it's way more libertarian than Gary Johnson.
I hope they don't start taxing fatty foods. Otherwise, taxation will be heft.
Well, it'll still never be funny as. Let's dispel this rumor that Barack Obama doesn't know what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing.
And taxation is theft.
It's like the whole stick with the fortune cookies and adding in bed to everything.
I
like this one. This is a good trend.
Please clap.
Please meme.
Jeb is a mess.
I think it's great to see, you know, a strong front on the meme war. I think we're doing great there.
Yeah.
It's the only front we're doing well on, so take them where you can get them.
Exactly. Yeah.
We will win the great meme war.
Oh, Cruz won Ohio, or excuse me, Utah. Same thing.
That's probably just his, you know, success based on wanting to have Muslim neighborhoods patrolled by special security patrols.